You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, at one point, South Africa was considered 32nd best in terms of the countries that were easy to do business with. There's an index that goes out that ranks countries based on ease of business, and we ranked 32nd at some point. Surprise, surprise, we no longer rank 32nd. We are down 84th, if that is still the up-to-date figure. I'll see if I can pull the up-to-date figure while we're on this chat. But for the purposes of this discussion, we went from 32nd to 84th, and we're going to try and find out how we get back up on that list. Joined on the line by Brian Silk, who's the associate partner at Hudson Sandler Invercom, to take a look at this and see how we can best prepare ourselves. Good evening, Brian. Thanks so much for taking the time. First of all, how did we go from 32nd to 84th?
Good evening, Jimmy. Thank you very much for having me on the show. Just quickly, I want to take a couple of steps back. So what informed this piece, if I go back a couple of weeks to a panel discussion, we hosted it Gibbs, there was government, private sector, and funders present. And a key message which came out there was around South Africa having an 18-month window approximately, one bite of the cherry in terms of securing foreign direct investment in what is a very competitive emerging markets landscape. And some of these issues came up there. I think the key thing is that messaging needs to be consistent in order to understand what it is we're asking of the international investment community that needs to talk to the value of the proposition of South Africa. Just in terms of your question, you know, what possibly informed South Africa's decline on the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business Index? I think there are a number of things, many of which we know about, but I think key up high up on the list is probably bureaucratic inefficiencies. You know, South Africa is a complex regulatory environment, slow government processes, and that deters business operations. And then load shedding, as we know, of the last couple of years, persistent energy issues, and they've disrupted industry, increased operational costs, and then obviously infrastructure deterioration. There's been a lot of talk about that on the show and in general. And I think just one last thing is around policy uncertainty. You know, there have been frequent, both domestic and international, frequent policy shifts around lack of clarity around issues like land reform, which essentially creates an unstable business climate. And that's without going into issues around corruption, graft, and governance. So those are some of the issues which may have informed this decrease or this decline.
Brian, when we look at the position of South Africa, understanding that we know some of the issues, how do we move forward? What lessons do we need to learn and to apply? You touched on something around the fact that there's been a lot of red tape where it comes to decision-making and policy certainty. Right. How do we move forward so that going forward, we do have an easier environment for investors to say, hang on, we can go invest in South Africa?
So I think there are a number of opportunities, some quick wins. I think post the establishment of the Government of National Unity, we've seen in terms of streamlining bureaucracy and bureaucratic processes, especially for starting and running small businesses, SMEs. I think some of the initiatives from Home Affairs Minister Leon Schreiber have been commendable, as well as the collaboration at the DTIC between Minister Parkstown, Andrew Whitfield, one of the deputies. That kind of streamlining of the process is removing some of the barriers to entry. I mean, enabling easier track to attaining work visas, etc. That's one area. I think in terms of policy, ensuring policy stability, and this will come probably in the medium to long term, through better collaboration between government and the private sectors, establishing, call them long-term policy frameworks, which investors can rely on. So they know that if they invest, you know, X amount into the economy in 2025, that they're doing it on the proviso that 3 years down the line, policy should be similar. I think in terms of strengthening infrastructure, and this came through, I think, quite strongly in my piece, especially with the announcement that Gauteng will be the host province, both the city of Johannesburg and Tshwane, for the 2025 G20 and B20 meetings, is prioritizing and upgrading critical infrastructure, which can support consistent business activity. The physical environment or the built environment has to be conducive for businesses to want to do business and invest in the province. And again, I'm referring to Gauteng, but that can be true of the whole of South Africa. I think in terms of another area about combating corruption and kind of increasing accountability, deploying the right resources into the police and ensuring that there's transparency within government institutions, I think the government has started to undertake the correct steps. A lot of this will come with time, but it seems like the right signals have been sent out to the investment community.
Brian, something a friend of mine said to me recently I found very interesting was he said he wishes that we would have more of these summits, the G20-like summits, and host more of these events, because seemingly when we host these things, infrastructure and other things are fixed rather quickly. How do we make sure that the solutions we put in place are not temporary for the sake of things like the G20 gatherings, and that it's actual sustainable solutions that we put in place on a permanent basis?
Right. So I think you're 100% right. And again, I'll cite Gauteng, but this is true for the whole country, is building long-term sustainability and resilience to support the investor case. I think the first point needs to be about sustainable infrastructure. So prioritize green and resilient infrastructure projects to meet, call it, the future needs and not the present needs. I think in terms of urban planning and transport, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done there around urban mobility and accessibility. Transnet comes up over there in that discussion to make Gauteng a more attractive business hub. I think another area is around skills development, and this is also in the long term. So ensuring that our educational frameworks align with industry demands, particularly in sectors like technology and energy, green energy, etc. And then I think an important point is around economic diversification. You know, like we need to encourage investment beyond what have been the traditional, the legacy sectors that South Africa has been known for, such as mining and heavy industry, and move into areas such as tech, finance, and services. And that would likely ensure a more balanced economy going forward and a more investable economy.
Brian, when we look at that investable economy and we look at things going forward, what do you think the new or the role will be of this new BRICS bloc in repositioning South Africa, but also repositioning just global trade? It's very clear that the bloc is here to stay. It accounts for 30% of the world's trade activity based on member countries that are currently involved there. Do you think that there's value in exploring new partnerships like that for the purposes of repositioning South Africa for a better future?
So I think that's a great question, Jimmy. I think if we had to strip out, call it the ideological questions or concerns around the geopolitical alignment, I think purely from a building of South Africa perspective, you know, how does the BRICS bloc, you know, feature in repositioning trade for South Africa? I think market access is critical. So opening up wider trade networks, especially across emerging economies. I think also in terms of investment opportunities, South Africa can attract funding for sectors like energy and manufacturing from some of these partner countries. And then I think in terms of enhanced bargaining power, this is very important, increased collective influence and negotiations on trade terms and investment policies globally. And then perhaps the last thing might be about, call it, a transfer of knowledge or skills or knowledge exchange. So I think better collaboration with countries in the BRICS bloc can kind of drive innovation, which, you know, may be lacking in South Africa. And so too, from our perspective, we can impart skills to our fellow BRICS bloc countries.
If ever there was a time to look at improving things, now is that time, because we've seen it before in the past. We've seen it in the likes of countries like Singapore. It is very possible to turn things around. We don't have to stay 84th on this World Bank list. We can get back higher up on the list, but we have to do it, and we have to do it together. We'll leave it at that, Brian. Thanks so much for the insights and for the time. Brian Silk, who is the associate partner at Hudson Sandler Invercom, joining us to take a look at the investment case that exists for South Africa, for Gauteng, and for the African continent, I suppose, to a certain extent.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.